Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertrucking, a podcast where Cybertruck owners share their experiences, talk about all things EVs as well as technology. We have Will. Will's back. He took last week off, but he's back. And we have Chase, as always. Well, last week, Will, we definitely missed you for many, many reasons, but probably the thing that we really needed you on the show for was, you know, the ever-popular Kim Kardashian. There was a photo shoot that she did last week that we wanted your thoughts on and kind of get some of your insight into her life. Because
I've had a lot going on. I haven't seen these photos just yet.
Here they are.
The new Tesla OnlyFans crossover. We're going to start.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, come out of the gates real hot. So here you go. Here's some photos of her in love with her Optimus.
I like that it says spicy new photos of her. I think it said with her. Yeah. Of her with. Okay. I thought it was like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's
with her cyber cab. I'm like, she doesn't have a cyber cab.
Wait. What is this though? Like,
yeah, she's sitting. Well, I mean, I'm looking at it. It looks like she's sitting on the lap, but the Optimus, I think, has different
for
plans.
Those audio only listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, yeah. The buttfucker 9000. I don't know.
So, yeah, I don't know if you have any thoughts, comments, opinions, but you are, you know, our resident Kim Kardashian knower of all things. So,
yeah, I think that as we said in the pre-show while we were talking, I'm like, yeah, it looks like she got paid to do this. And, you know, I'm sure that there's the question, I think, was, okay, but like, you know, what, you know, why her? And I'm like, you know, I don't think that she's necessarily one. I think that a lot's happened since the Cybertruck came out and even the Robotaxi thing on October 10th. I feel like everybody feels like it's been like 6 months, but it's only been like 5 weeks or 6 weeks. And right. I think that there's a lot of celebrities who are distancing themselves from the potential fallout of whatever mixture is going to, well, we're going to see play out from the guy who's the head of the company that we all admire and love the products of, to the guy who's now going to get involved in politics and government directly. And so I think a lot of celebrities are kind of shying away from being connected with that brand until maybe it's safe again, or maybe it's just culturally forgotten. But Kim doesn't seem like the type who's ever been limited that way. I think that she, chances are, was kind of like, you know what, we're going to do a whole thing. We're going to pay you a whole bunch of money. And I think that she was like, bet, I'll be there on Monday or whatever.
More than likely, that's how it went down.
It could be. I did hear just a really brief thing on the political thing. I heard that Kim Kardashian's stepdad is looking to possibly run for governor of California. So maybe that's an angle that's playing out here.
Who's Kim Kardashian's stepdad?
Caitlyn Jenner? Stepmother, I guess, at the point?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So who knows?
I don't see that necessarily gaining a whole lot of steam, but I don't know. I don't, you know, I'm obviously so far out of touch with politics that the last few weeks have been very jarring to me. So, you know, I just think that, you know, she's kind of an opportunist that has always come out of every situation fairly spotless. Like, there hasn't been a lot 100%. Of anything that really sticks to her in a negative way. And so, I mean, I feel like she probably feels safe to be like, you know what, it doesn't matter. I can go do this Tesla thing. And then 6 months from later, 6 months from now, if I have to disavow all of it, I'll do it. You know,
I think I joked about this last week too, is that it's funny how earlier in this year that we were complaining about how Tesla didn't have any PR and how horrible like their PR stance was. And then fast forward 6 months and we've got like spicy photos with Kim Kardashian or Optimus robot.
Well, you know, I think that's where I'm sure there's a lot of people that are listening or watching that go, why are you guys talking about this? Mm-hmm. And I think for me, the biggest reason why I think this is, I don't know if I want to say a hedge scratcher, but just something that makes me kind of pause is the fact that how exactly what you said, Chase, that Tesla is notorious for not having a PR department, so to speak. Doesn't put out a lot of news on their end. They kind of rely on their owners to do a lot of their promotion for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why they kind of, you know, they have that referral program and they do a lot of that type of stuff. But then when you look at the fact that Kim Kardashian is taking spicy photos, as they say, with the Robo Taxi and Optimus, it just makes me think, and this is where I get, you know, the head scratching. How much money did you pay her to do that?
Exactly.
And if you were going to pay, if you're going to spend that type of money, because you know it's a lot, for promotion, I think there's other ways you could have done it. Maybe this is what they want, and it's going to give them what they're looking for. But as a...
There's other people, if I can try to reinterpret it, it sounds like you're trying to say that there are other people that they could partner up with that maybe might get Tesla as a brand further than going back to someone like him.
Or just put some billboards up.
Yeah.
Just traditional
do a commercial
marketing.
Or two.
Yeah.
It's like, do you really need to spend the money?
I think they've gone non-conventional for sure.
There's always, I think that a lot of companies have this, I don't know, maybe I'll just call it like a cocaine cycle where, you know, you go from being a structured, well-run business, maybe with a few renegades, maybe a few people, before it turns into absolute Wolf of Wall Street, where they're just doing blow and, you know, there's dwarf wrestling and other nonsense. I can't help but feel like there's been this transition with Tesla that's like reminding me of, you know, when you read the court documents about the stuff that was going on at FTX under Sam Bankman-Fried and everybody's... I'm back, I promise. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, you're good.
So I think that it's like when it comes to other companies that just like you read
absolute
okay we waited a whole week to get his thoughts on this and...
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, I think we lost. We're losing him.
Right, I was promised he was going to be in his master bed or master bathroom.
Yeah,
so
well, I addressed that with him. I said, "What happened to the master bathroom?" But well, let's for the time being, because we can't hear you, Will. So I don't know if you could hear us, but. What I do want to do is let's move on from Kim K, because I started it off and we probably spent a little too much time on her.
My Temu headset's reconnected, I hope.
There we go.
There you go. We can hear you now.
Okay. So.
Okay, now we can't hear.
Just pay $10 million.
Yeah.
It's going great, guys.
Yeah.
It's going super great.
Yeah, no, you're fine. I'm going to have to edit all this out. But. But anyways, let's move on to Starlink. You know, as everybody knows, tomorrow is Thanksgiving for anybody that's watching live. And so first of all, happy Thanksgiving. Also, this is the time of the year where there's all these Black Friday sales and deals. Mm-hmm. And something that I think Will came across and found and sent our way was Starlink. So the Starlink Mini is actually on sale. But it's not just Best Buy. You can get it at Best Buy.
Okay.
But also on Starlink's official website, you can go on there and you can get the Starlink Mini, which is regularly $599, is now $449. And this is something that we've talked about
a few
times on the show, and something that, especially for myself, that I go camping and I'm going to be going to a lot of, you know, remote places. This is almost a must. You know, one thing that I've shared with everybody on the show before is that time that I went camping and the inverter went out and I was struggling to find service to call for help. And if I had a Starlink, that would definitely help. So, you know, just wanted to share this if, you know, for everybody that's listening or watching, that if you're in the market for Starlink and, you're just kind of waiting for the right time, this might be that time. So,
yeah, I can't speak highly enough of it, because it's like that peace of mind to be able to know that if internet goes down or cellular service goes down, I can just throw that out in the backyard and we're good to go. Actually, a couple weeks ago, that actually happened, where I think it was kind of later in the evening that internet just cut out completely. It was some kind of like down service thing with our ISP, but I just tossed out the Starlink and it was good to go.
Yeah.
Nice and easy.
First of all, I just want to say hi to everybody that's in chat. Jay, Bill, Mark, Anthony, everybody that's in there. Hello and happy Thanksgiving. I see you guys all wishing everybody happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, yeah.
Mark, or Anthony actually makes a funny comment. He goes, Will has the worst Wi-Fi of all time.
Literally.
We got that bong rip at 2 frames a second.
Well, share with everybody, Will, if you could hear us, if we could hear you. The reason why you're outside is...
I just have poor family over right now.
Perfect. So Will's outside.
He's frozen. He's frozen in the perfect pose of this, too.
There he goes. So Will's outside. He's not in his normal studio that he's been building because he has family over. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's that time of the year, and he has... bunch of guests inside his home, and so he wanted to, you know, be on the podcast tonight because he did miss last week, and so he's outside. So we do appreciate him making the effort, and unfortunately the Wi-Fi is not cooperating.
It's tied back. He needs Starlink.
That's what I told him. I said, hey, you need a Starlink.
100% Starlink. I mean, you can get like 200 megabytes down on that solid, even from like a phone.
It's
pretty good.
100%. So let's get into some other things that I wanted to talk about. One thing that I wanted to show, and it's funny because I've always wanted to do this as a video for myself, and I never did. Tesla put this out, and I think it's pretty great, just kind of showcasing the four-wheel steering and how dramatic it is. As you can see here, the vehicle in the middle has the four-wheel steering on, which is funny because they're showing with the four-wheel steering off. So I didn't even know that was something you could really toggle, but I think it's in the off-road settings, right?
In the off-road settings, you can turn it off to get like a really good side-by-side. They also had, I'm seeing if I can find it real quick just to show. I thought they had posted it, but they had posted like some really good graphics of like showing the degrees of motion both the front and back wheels do. They had this one, but also they had a graphic to show the degrees of motion that it goes in line as well when you're on the highway, because that's something we really hadn't like visually seen yet before. That I always knew happened, and I always told people that this totally happens, and then it's kind of nice to have a little bit of like justification to back it up. Be like, okay, this is exactly how many degrees the wheels actually turn when you're, you know, shifting lanes at high speed.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I love about the Cybertruck, just because it makes it that much more nimble, considering how large it is. And, you know, I just did camping this past weekend, and, you know, there's a lot of truck guys out there with their big, you know, lifted trucks. And, you know, got a lot of questions, got a lot of looks. And that's, you know, one thing that I tell them is it's a big, you know, it's not a huge truck. My previous Ram was much bigger, but it's still, it's a full size truck, and yet it moves like a sports car. And, you know, the four wheel steering is one of them. So I just thought this video was really cool. I know everybody that probably watches us and listens to us, you know, already is very aware of how great the four wheel steering is, but I just really like this video because it really, really shows you how big of a difference it makes.
Yeah, it's huge. That was one of the best things I could do to like show people when I test drove, to be like, and watch me whip this U-turn one-handed.
Yeah.
And they're like, what?
Oh, yeah.
But you can't do that in like normal cars.
Yeah, I did a whole video with one of my buddies who owns a Silverado, and that's that was his big takeaway. You know, in the video, he did a U-turn in his community, and he mentions that typically with his Silverado, there's no way that he's able to do that U-turn. And we were able to do it with this Cybertruck. And also there was a car parked kind of obstructing that U-turn, and we were still able to do it. And he mentioned, he's like, I have a hard time doing it without a car being there, let alone, you know, a car, you know, sitting right there and in the way. So that's actually a really, really great benefit. Let's see here. So let's move on to the next thing that I have. So another update that actually just dropped today, I believe, was the horn update. So I've mentioned in the past that I'm in a big group chat of a bunch of Cybertruck owners, and a few of them made some videos showcasing the process on how to update your horn and also what it sounds like. So I want to kind of just play that video real quick. I know Will's trying to get in. Is he able to get in?
Hopefully that link is working, right?
Here, let me grab him a link. Okay. Oh, there he is. Sorry about that. Let's go ahead and, yeah, let's play that video of the, it's like a 2 or 3 minute long video, but I'll put the audio on so everybody could see it. And then you guys can see his YouTube channel. So if you want to go ahead and give him some views or likes or subscribe, then I'm sure he would appreciate that. Because he did allow me to share this video with everybody. So if you notice there, I paused it. Hmm. If you notice, you have to go to your messages.
Yeah.
To find the update for this. It's not something that you're going to find in the menus. You have to go to your messages, and then in there, there's a message that lets you know that you can do this. So I just wanted to point that out.
That is a new horn.
Way updated. I mean, that's living in the future right now.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things, right? How instant that update is to the horn. But something that I find very, very interesting is the fact that you can update or upgrade the horn to that new sound. But yet you can't go back. You can't revert back to the old sound. That's interesting to me.
They're probably shipping the newer ones with the new sound, and then they're sending out messages to all of the current VINs that are out there in the wild.
So anybody that, you know, watches us for a while, you guys know that I try to hold out on getting that rivet on my pedal as long as I could. And I you know, got to the point where
fire.
I couldn't do it. Well, yeah, you know,
you're going to die.
Yeah. I'm going to kill everybody on the road, but obviously I had to do it. If that is the case, what they're looking to do is get everybody to have the new horn sound. I kind of don't want to do the upgrade because I want to have the original, you know, sound. So that way, you know, 20 years from now, if I still have the truck, who knows? But, you know, I could sit there and say, I still got that old horn. Come on, it'll compress it, you know? So that'd be something that I'd be curious to know more about. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. The fact that you can just very easily go in the app, you know, hit a few buttons, and within seconds, your car has been updated with a new horn sound. I wish there was options for more sounds. I don't know if I'm in love with this sound. Not that I hate it, but I would love more options, and I'm sure maybe there'd be some in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and shout out to Maze. Yeah, like, I like the tires and the side skirts, and as well like the front bumper guard. Those are all really cool.
Oh,
look at the link in the bio. We've got a GoFundMe to fix his phone screen, so please donate so we can help out Maze.
I'll let
all of his
know.
Money went to the Cybertruck, so it's understandable.
I'll let him know that we're running a GoFundMe for him. So I'm sure he'd appreciate that. So I thought that was really cool, and I appreciate him allowing us to use his video in the podcast. So now, you know, unfortunately, there's been some, how would you say, some, I mean, just plain and simple, there's been some accidents and some, you know, unfortunately, you know, tragic accident that has happened recently. And so let's go through, we got a few of these that we got to go through, some Cybertruck, you know, it's news.
It's novel.
The first one I want to show is this tragic, very, very tragic. Three people have passed away in a Cybertruck crash up in the Bay Area.
And then I think there was a fourth that they mentioned that was ejected from the vehicle that didn't pass.
This is brutal.
Sure. But yeah, they said that when they found the Cybertruck was on fire, but it wasn't clear, and even they had mentioned in the report that it wasn't the battery that was burning, like it caught fire some other way.
Yeah,
that has to be the
worst, right? I mean, obviously there's three people that lost their lives, which is very, very tragic, but this is by far just looking at the vehicle, it's the worst accident that I have seen with the Cybertruck. So my condolences to everybody that was involved, the families. I don't care what vehicle you're in. You never want to see anything like that. So
it just goes to show you that, you know, it's still possible. It's not like it's not completely bulletproof or, you know, shatterproof. It's still a vehicle, and you still have to treat it with respect.
Well, it's one of those things where Tesla makes some of the safest vehicles on the road. That's not my opinion. That's fact. You can go online and you can look.
Yeah, that's backed up.
Yeah, you can go online. You can look that up, and Tesla does a great job with Their safety Cybertruck, from what we've seen so far, has been a relatively safe truck. Obviously, this accident was, you know, it's just one of those things where you couldn't dodge it, you know, unfortunately. And, yeah. You know, but yeah, Chase said it best, you know, it just, you know, there's nothing, I don't care if you're in the safest vehicle on the road that was ever made, you know, anything can happen. And so at the end of the day, you got to always pay attention and be careful and, you know, be aware of your surroundings. There's another incident that has happened that I think Chase shared with us. I still don't know what happened here, and I don't think we have an explanation yet. But as you could see, the Cybertruck, it seemed like the arm, I think the A-arm just broke or bent or something happened here.
This is kind of interesting because we saw this in another crash too, that like early on, if you remember in the early part of this year, everyone was talking about how flimsy that upper control arm was. And I said the same thing, cause I'm like, this seems like unnecessarily flimsy, but I think it's meant to be that way on purpose because it's not meant to take a whole lot of load, but it is meant to crumple under force because it makes the crumple zone in the front of the Cybertruck include the front wheels that can then crumple in. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing here, possibly in reverse. Mm. Like if it's, I'm guessing it had to been like a side swipe, but the wheels were already turned out. So it like caught the inner part of the wheel, but yeah, it's just weird. I mean, it's sad because it's got a nice wrap on it and everything. This could possibly total it.
Yeah, I think so. I had reminds me of my Model 3. Same, not scenario, because I don't even know what happened here, but my Model 3, the control arm just broke and the wheel fell off and it was a pain in the butt for the tow truck guy to get up onto his tow truck because the wheels not attached. They literally just dragged it. And just at the end of the day, it was a totaled vehicle because they were dragging it left and right, you know, just to get it up onto the tow truck and then to get it off the tow truck. It was a big mess. And that when I seen this photo, that was the first thing I thought of was, wow, I know how this feels, you know, that happened. So it's crazy. Another incident that has happened that I came across was, I'm not sure if you guys seen this one, this rear end from a Silverado. So I'm going to go ahead and play this video as well.
Yeah, I agree with what they said underneath that clip too, that I think that if the rules were reversed, the Cybertruck would have automatically broke or applied the brakes.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are part of the benefits, right? Of having the autonomous vehicles, you know, with the technology that they have, you know, 100%, you know, in that situation, if it's driving and you were to fall asleep, number one, it would, you know, alert you. Right, it'll let you know, hey, we can see that you're falling asleep, and then also it would have, you know, hit the brakes for you and possibly and hopefully avoided this whole scenario. So unfortunate, once again, that happened. But you know, like we said in the first video, you know, that we watched, that you gotta pay attention. You can't be falling asleep out there. So we got all those taken care of now. I came across this and I thought it's very, very interesting. It's a photo of It's the photo of Tesla. So right here, Sawyer posted this on X and he says, Tesla has released a new picture of its current and future family of vehicles and Tesla bot. So as you can see here, you have, you know, the robo van. Or bus, I think is what they call it, the robo cab, the 3YSX, Cybertruck, Semi, and Optimus. And then Sawyer goes on to say, wait a minute, where's the next gen Roadster? So that's interesting because not saying, you know, I don't know. I don't know how much we want to read into this, but I've said it many times. I feel, and this is just my personal opinion, I don't know anything. I've never thought that the Roadster is ever going to hit the market from the standpoint of being able to buy it.
Yeah.
I think Tesla kind of dug themselves in a hole by doing that referral that they were doing for a while. And there's a lot of people out there that are supposed to get free Roadsters. And I've just never understood how a business can hand out that much free product. The dollar amount is going to be ridiculous. And can they afford it? Of course they can. But just because you could afford something doesn't mean you do it. The PR behind that, if they were ever to officially say we're not going to release it, would be horrible. But also, Tesla doesn't say anything.
Yeah,
I don't think they ever will. But when they post a picture like this, it makes you think, right?
I'm trying to find the picture that we referenced before, the one where we had, it was from one of the meetings earlier this summer where they shared a photo like this, but it was, some of them were covered up
with like the sheets.
Yeah,
I could probably find that. But yeah, so I just, you know, I don't know. I would love Will's take on this. Will, I think, disappeared again. Tesla, well, I think you're looking for it, right?
Yeah, I can't find anything away. But yeah, I'm curious to see the difference, because if it is just the model, basically the Roadster that's missing from this image compared to that image, then it's pretty close to what we kind of predicted, where it's like the Model 2, aka Robotaxi, is one thing. We have the van in there that was also kind of teased. And then I think the Roadster was the only thing else that was covered up.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know anything. I just, that's been my speculation, and it's been my speculation for a few years now. You know, I remember when that was all going down and they were doing those referrals, and I think it was, if you got 100 referrals, you get a free Roadster.
Mm-hmm.
And then the issue came into play where it didn't end. You can get another 100 referrals and get another free Roadster. So there's people literally out there that you can go to their Tesla accounts and it shows on there they're 2 or 3 Roadsters. Yeah. And when I saw that, I'm just thinking to myself, at the time, with no inflation, the Roadster was supposed to be $250,000. I think the top end one was $300,000. And I'm thinking, how are you going to give almost $1 million worth of cars for free to people, to one guy? I mean,
if to you one give it guy. To Kim Kardashian, then apparently they go
well. But I
send some tweets, and it all is the same.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
I shared the shared the image. I think that's pretty much it. And what's interesting about this that I don't think anyone has really called out yet is that it was clear in that initial image with the sheet covered over that there was a van.
Yes,
or a van-looking type of vehicle that was covered up. But based off of, here we go. So assuming in the top row, one of those,
the bus.
Yeah, that's the bus. One in the top row is the cyber robotaxi. And then the other could be the Roadster. But the bus, what was interesting is that Franz had mentioned at the reveal event in certain like interviews that they had only been working on that for like less than a couple months prior to that reveal. And this was well before that. So it probably was the idea that they were going to make, a cyber cab as well as like a cyber van. And that's probably where this image came about, is that they're like, all right, cyber van. All right, we'll just take the typical van kind of profile and then cover the sheet over it. But I don't think that they probably anticipated what it was going to turn into. So 100%. I think it's probably 98% safe to say that this is for sure the robo van.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I would think so. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you think, but I just, like I said, I'm just, pulling stuff out of the air right now. But
a version of the Cybertruck that's a hatchback that,
Or it could just be a future vehicle, or it could be the Roadster. Once again, that image with the sheets covering the future vehicles. That could, I truly believe they're going to come out with a Roadster that's going to have that, the jet, on the back of it because they've talked mm-hmm. about that. I just don't know. I just don't know if it's going to be the Roadster that was talked about and showed years ago when they said one more thing. You know, right. I don't know if it's going to be that. And I don't know if it's going to be something that you can go on Tesla.com and order is what I'm saying. Yeah. Will there be a Roadster? Yeah, I think so. I just don't know if it's going to be something that they're going to sell to people.
It's a side project that makes for sense. Marketing.
It's going to be, yes, it's going to be a show car.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be five in the world, you know, yeah. something like that. I just don't think it's, I don't think it's going to go into production is what I'm saying.
I agree. Well, it's kind of what we thought about the Cybertruck, and then here we are, like 50,000 Cybertrucks later.
Well, yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Who knows?
Within the year.
What do I know, right? I'm just talking. But I thought that was interesting. That was an interesting mm-hmm. photo and observation. Another thing that we wanted to talk about was some drag racing, right?
Yeah, this
talked
popped up
about
in the
Jets.
Cybertruck owners group. I thought it was just kind of cool that I didn't realize that this was even a possibility, that I guess there's the NHRA, like junior street division, will race like street vehicles, but because they have like a certain limitation where they can't run, I'm alone. Oh, there we go. They can't run a vehicle that's going to do the quarter mile and faster than 9 seconds. So in order to actually run the Cybertruck to do 9 seconds, they had to like kind of dumb it down in a way. So they both had to deep stage it as well as turn it into chill mode. And set the max speed limit to 75 miles an hour just so that it would actually do the quarter mile in 9.5 seconds.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny.
That is hilarious. Yeah, they had to slow down the Cybertruck for some drag racing. That's hilarious.
His granddaughter is 14 driving this thing, which is that's awesome too. Like that's really cool to see.
No, 100%. Well, you know, it's amazing to really think about, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there you know, they're listening or watching or, you know, that will have experience or stories about this, but it is really amazing. I see videos all the time where kids at 9 years old are maybe not so much driving cars, but they're driving tractors and, you know, excavators and they're it's that to me is really cool. The fact that, obviously heavy duty equipment, you got to be careful, but I'm hoping and I'm sure the people that are teaching them are teaching them the safety and all that stuff. But I just think that's cool. You know, so something like this, you're 100% right. At 14 years old, somebody's granddaughter is out there driving and racing the Cybertruck. And I'm sure all the safety precautions are taken care of. But that's cool. That's really cool. And that's a great experience for her.
Can't imagine, like, my 2.5-year-old will tell you actually all the parts of an excavator and how to operate it, because he's learning all of that from like Blippi and different shows.
Oh, really?
On YouTube now. Yeah, he knows so much about heavy machinery than I even knew at his age.
Interesting.
Like, everything and what they're actually called, like it's skid steer, not a bobcat, all these different things. So it's really cool. And then I can't imagine what he thinks about the Cybertruck, because anytime you see one, you know, I just get the reminder from him that, oh yeah, the Cybertruck jumps really high.
Yeah. And
it's like, yep. So I'm curious how much of this will stick with him, you know, the next 12 years to see if it turns into all right, my first vehicle is a Cybertruck. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because over the weekend, I'm trying to pull something up right quick, but over the weekend I was camping and I was talking to people and there was one guy that, you know, he was talking to me about the Cybertruck. I have my rooftop tent on top of it. And, you know, he had a trailer and a bunch of people there. They had their trailers and they're camping in their RVs. And I mentioned to him that I have an RV. I have a trailer, but I didn't bring it because I wanted to do the rooftop tent camping. And he looks at me and he goes, "You tow with that?" And I go, "Yeah, I tow with that." He goes, "It can do that?" I go, "Yes, it's a truck. Like, what are you talking about?" Mm-hmm. And so then I was talking to him about off-roading and he goes, "That thing can't off-road. There's no way." And I said, "Yes, it off-roads. It actually does a really good job with it." And so then
too good.
I had to do it, Chase.
It's too good of a job off-road.
I went and showed him and showed him your video and he was blown away. He was like, "What?" And I go, "Yeah, that's my buddy. He jumped it." He goes, "Oh my God, that's crazy.
It's too easy." And that's what's crazy is that, like, this is the dual motor. It's not even like the top of the line.
Yeah.
Like, it blows my mind even still today. So
no, 100%. It was
get a Cybertruck, take it off road, have some fun with it, get it dirty, break a little thing here or there, and then have some fun with it. That's what it's meant for. Because like if you think about it, like Elon has talked about it for years that when he's making, you know, the Model 3 and the Model Y and just the Teslas in general, he's making a vehicle that's not meant to be like the best vehicle on the road, but it's meant to be the, you know, the funnest vehicle. Like it's the best experience you can get out of a vehicle. And I think we're starting to see that with not just a vehicle on the road, but a vehicle off road too.
Yep. Yeah. 100%. It's a, you know, one thing that I told that gentleman as well is that whenever, or there's been a few times where I go out to the desert and I do some of these photo shoots with the photographer, Kevin. And when we go out, you know, Kevin shoots a lot of off-road vehicles. He does a lot of that type of content, the TRXs, the Raptors, all those guys. Right. And he told me one time we were just having a conversation because, you know, we're driving and he said, I experience all of those vehicles, all of the, you know, the best, right? People regard these as the best off-road vehicles. And he goes, I'm telling you right now, the Cybertruck is up there with them, you know, and in a lot of ways it beats them.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, you know, I know there's a lot of videos out there showing the Cybertruck's getting stuck or this and that, whatever. He goes, I've been with Raptors that get stuck. Mm-hmm. I've been with TRXs that get stuck. He's all, they get stuck too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not just a Cybertruck, but he's, you know, he even said, he goes, yeah, they're, Cybertruck's it's a beast out there on the dirt. So,
oh yeah,
you know, that's somebody that has experienced all those vehicles. So that's something that totally. He knows.
I'd be lying if I hadn't say that. I definitely, the thought crossed my mind to see if I could like convince a buddy that I know that has a Cybertruck out here to let me go jump it again or like rent one and not say anything.
But yeah.
It's definitely doable and a lot of fun in the right conditions. I don't think we shared it, but I did see last week someone had like jumped one over a sand dune and got a little bit of air with it. I could probably pull it up in a second, but
nothing like you.
No, and it's funny because Double Cap Crimpin got notified and pulled into it, and it's like, oh, this is, you know, because obviously he had his accident, but it wasn't that impressive. But it's also, I think, a lot riskier to do it in natural, like terrain. Like when you're not
on a course, you know,
on a course or something that someone else has jumped with another vehicle, just to be sure. So definitely be smart, be careful about everything.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You definitely need to be safe. Like with everything, you got to be safe.
Oh yeah.
Wanted to talk about some other news that came out recently, and that is the Cybertruck, well, not just Cybertruck, I believe it's all Teslas. Tesla is now officially introducing the end of lease buyouts for all vehicles. Oh. It states right here Model 3, Model Y, and Cybertruck, and it also says Model S and X. That's something that they weren't doing before. And so,
oh man, that's really tempting.
Chase, they're trying to rope you back in.
They're really trying, because like leasing a Cybertruck right now would actually be cheaper than the loan on the Rivian.
Well,
just by like barely, but still it adds up over time. But we would be limited on miles. That's the only kind of downside. I'm sure it'd be like a 3-year lease.
Yeah, it's very tempting. And well, I think you shared this as well, which is a screenshot that kind of, I think, piqued your interest even more. But it shows the Cybertruck at $77,990. Obviously, and that's the next thing I want to get into, is the fact that they are doubling the referral discount. So what was once $1,000 is now $2,000. Let me see if I could pull that up. That's big. But
especially if you have the military discount or whatever, we said that you can compound there, like you can get some really good benefits. Yeah, it's getting to the point where like it's hard not to justify it. Well, but like once we see what I'm curious about is the used market too, and that's something we've actually started to see even now with the Foundation Series. Like it's something to say that our truck has not been resold yet, because they're trying to sell it for what they bought it for, and it's way too expensive now. Now that you can buy a new for much less.
You definitely sold it at the right time. That was a topic of discussion that you had. You were debating, contemplating whether you should pull the trigger and sell the Cybertruck because you felt like it was the right time to do so, given the fact that you felt like the prices were going to come down. And you were, I think, within a week, maybe not even that, within days.
The tea leaves were and I told my business partner, my goodness, it's dropped in price.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, really?
It's dropped again under what they paid.
Wow.
It's now $89,880.
Wow. So they're struggling.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the timing was right. Honestly, can't be mad at it because it's just business at that point. But yeah, I think the tea leaves are right. I feel like, you know, that 10-10 event with the Robotaxi was a good enough catalyst for me to be like, all right, let's push to get this sold like ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did. And then what I didn't anticipate is then like completely ending Foundation Series before even 10-10. So
yeah, no, you timed it perfectly. But at the same time, it's always, I always say it like this when it comes to pricing things out right and the right time. It's like a home, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to sell high.
Yeah.
But then if you sell high, that means the market's high, which means you're going to go buy high.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Ideally is you buy low. So if you sell high, that's fine. But then you got to kind of wait until it gets to the low point.
Yeah.
I think this is not that case because you sold high and then the market kind of crashed, so to speak, right? Right. And it wasn't that it crashed. It's just non-foundation came out. And now non-foundation eliminated $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it looks like it crashed. It really didn't. So someone like you, it's like you were able to sell high and then you can, if you wanted to, you can get back in.
Yeah.
But you went ahead and, you know, you got your Rivian, which I know you're loving, but.
If I were to bank though, because so let's say non-foundation series started last month in October, roughly. Let's just say 6 months from October. So let's say April of next year. April of next year probably be a good time frame to start looking out for used non-foundation series Cybertrucks to hit the market of people that, for whatever reason, wanted to get out of it. They don't like it. I think the majority of used Cybertrucks that we're seeing right now that are Foundation Series that are going like all on CarGurus right now that I'm looking at, they're all Foundation Series that people are like, I paid way too much. This is not worth what it was. And they just want to get out of it. And I'm looking at anywhere from still 120,000 to 89 to 91 to 96, 92, 97. All over the place. So it's still pretty high numbers, but I don't think that'll stay very long until we start to see non-foundation series hit that used market. I think that's going to be really telling because if you had a non-foundation series with 6 months worth of miles on it, so you have like what, six to 9,000 miles on it, going for in the 60s, I think that's where we're really starting to see like some great deals on getting it into a Cybertruck.
Oh yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm like, I'm looking long term. I'm like, okay, we can keep the Rivian for a year and see what we're going to do after that. Because then we could easily get into a, you know, trade over to a Cybertruck.
And then you'll be back.
We'll and then you go back. Jump it
bring
again.
You back home.
Go jump it and feel not bad about it.
There although, you go.
I will say I did see, I've seen, in Austin is kind of a weird market for it. Because like our Cybertruck is trying to resell in Austin, which is already kind of flooded. That's kind of the downside of it because there's so many Cybertrucks. Like today I saw three and I wasn't out that much. Like I was just kind of doing my normal thing. I saw three Cybertrucks just going about one of which was brand new that they just picked it up last month because it still had the temp tags on it and it had the Pirelli tires with the street kind of aero caps.
Yeah.
Still ugly in person, but I'll hold that.
Well, speaking of that, Jay was in chat earlier and he says that he got his wheel covers
from
Tesla.
Yeah.
So he was asking if I received mine. I still have not, but I haven't been, you know, I kind of went through a 3-week process or mm-hmm. 3-week span of my Cybertruck sitting at a service center for a little bit longer than I would want it to. And I'm not looking forward to going back there. So I haven't even inquired. They actually reached out to me a few weeks ago asking if I wanted to come in and do some recall, fix some recalls. And I,
interesting. I'm
like, no, I'll wait. I want to keep the truck in my garage as long as I can. So I don't need to do that right now. I could wait. Let's get into, I was really hoping Will was going to be on for this one, but because I think, I don't know if it was you or him that brought it up, but you know, we got to talk about Rivian.
Hmm?
Rivian got a loan approval for $6.6 billion to build their EV production facility in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's great news. Rivian's stock price has, you know, responded well to that. Well, they've, as we know, and we've covered in the past, that Rivian got the $6 billion from Volkswagen, and now they're, you know, partnering up on some projects. But now they got the money to build their facility, which is great news for them as well. See how this all turns out for them. But once again, as we've talked about in the past, it's something that we really like the Rivian brand and what they're doing and want to see them succeed and do well. So congratulations to them and looking forward to seeing what they're able to do with this new facility.
Totally. Yeah, I think it's good looking. Obviously, invest into Rivian both with a vehicle and stock, so it's all good to see.
Let's actually look at it real quick. So Rivian stock right here, you know, that's one day, but what was it? Here we go,
5% on the day. So
it's come up,
rebounding pretty good.
That's what you want to see. You want to see.
I'm trying to find the other news that I had with. I think it was a reply. That's where I'm trying to find it, but. So one of the guys that work in software for Rivian, Wasim, up on X. Oh, here we go. Found it. The other Rivian news that I have that's very like topical is we have been long awaiting the update, and actually Will has talked about this too, of the update to allow you to Chromecast to your Rivian.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny that like this was kind of a post to be like, you know, let's see what the fuss is about, talking about, you know, Kyle Connor's video. And he's like, yeah, there we go. And then Wasim just posts, like, just hints to drop people like, oh, by the way, it's perfect duration to watch while I'm charging. And this is not a capability that is actually available. So he's watching a YouTube video on his Rivian before it's even available to the public.
Hmm.
So he's teasing out the new update that's supposedly coming in next month.
Interesting.
To be able to play YouTube and Google Chromecast to your Rivian, so that'll be great.
No, that would be great. I mean, I use it all the time. The theater and the Cybertruck when I'm at.
It's greatly missed, especially when you're sitting at a supercharger in the middle of a blizzard, and you just have podcasts.
That's unfortunate. That's when you really need it. But yeah, I mean, even today I went to go pick up my son from training and, you know, get in the parking lot, got a few minutes to kill. I go and put on YouTube and, you know, I watched some of my own videos. No, I didn't do that. I was watching something from ESPN, but, that's great. Still don't know. I guess, you know, I don't know why that wasn't something that, you know, that they had in the Rivians from the beginning, but you know,
I agree. I think they're dealing with the iOS, I think, is Android based, whereas Tesla's all Linux based.
That's true.
So that's, they're having like Google Play issues. Obviously like Alexa's all integrated with it as well. So Amazon has a say, like it's just, it's the whole like Apple versus Android kind of argument versus, you know, Tesla and Rivian. So it's just one of those things.
Yeah. So Austin is in chat and he mentions that the theater mode and the dog mode are the only things that he likes more in his Model Y than the R1T in his R1T. Mm-hmm.
R1T should have a dog mode in the, if you look in the
I think he mentioned settings. Specifically internal dog mode camera. I don't know if there's a camera.
Dog mode camera, yeah. I don't have that.
Yeah.
Nope.
So, theater is a big thing, you know. It's very convenient, you know. First world problems, obviously.
Yeah.
So,
I will say though, after our road trip, I was shocked about how many locations and superchargers were very like friendly to non Tesla setup charging. Like, one issue.
Well, it's a good conversation because I know somebody that has a Rivian, and he literally posts, and I'll see if I can find it real quick. He literally posts the other day, you know, because he just took delivery of a Rivian recently, a R1S, and he mentions how it's almost embarrassing to go because of the setup, you know, because of the placement of the charger, the charge port on the Rivian. Let me see.
We only had, I want to say one. I can share them too, because I took pictures of each like charging station. And even then, the one that I'm thinking of that was like kind of sketchy was not sketchy at all. Like, it was not like this where I had to like park separately and kind of do that. Honestly, yeah, I never ran into any issues of like not being able to like park respectively for other patrons with the charger. And even there, I think is a good example. I think that's probably what the one I'm thinking of happened, where it was like, we were parked next to the charger, but I think there was enough chargers that it didn't really make a difference available. Because most of them were pull through chargers. If not, they were V4 chargers that were centered in the lane. So you pull forward and then V4 had enough to like reach around, and that was no problem.
Yeah. I've seen a few times where I go to a supercharger and, there's a Rivian, that's taking up multiple spots, or they're like on the opposite side of the chargers. And there's always kind of a weird, I know we've talked about that many times in the past where there really needs to be, I mean, everybody's going to NACS, right? Everybody's doing it. So if that's where everyone's going, then there needs to be a universal placement for the port on the vehicle.
I agree.
And that's just, or at least that's what's got to be. Like, no questions asked.
Some of the pull-through parking could accommodate both. Like, whereas like a lot of these chargers, we were pulled in front ways, whereas Teslas would be pulled in back ways, but it still worked both ways. Like, the one that the V4 charger that I just shared, that's a good example of like it could go both ways, because they just place the V4 with a long enough cable in the middle of the parking spot, and it doesn't matter. But the first one I showed, that was the sketchy one where we had to park offset to be able to get it to work. Yeah, this one is a V4. So we hit this charger twice, and every single time we were front ways, and then all the other Teslas were backwards, obviously. But it's plenty enough room to be able to charge.
Yeah, and that's fine. Yeah, if you're able to pull in or, you know, and charge, and you're not obstructing anything, then yeah, that's fantastic.
Yep. And it was at a Toot and Totem, which is the off-brand buggies for northern Texas and Oklahoma, but also had a Wendy's like within walking distance. So it was well put together, good fast charging.
And most importantly, you weren't having to sit in. I'm trying to pull it up.
Not in the snow.
You didn't have to sit in this.
Yeah, so. Which what you're not seeing in this photo is how I almost bust my ass getting out of the Rivian, because all the black top is all ice. You can see it; it's kind of shiny there. Yeah, that's all ice below there.
Oh yeah, no, that's that's no fun. And I'm sure I don't know what shoes you had on, but they probably weren't ready for that.
No, and then on our way home, at this very charger, our adapter, the A to Z adapter, got stuck on the charger.
Oh, did it really?
To the point where like I couldn't get it off, and I kept like restarting the charge to like kind of disengage it
from the cold.
And and to the point where like the supercharger stopped working because we kept like trying to reactivate it, and I was like, okay, it doesn't work anymore. So I had to call Tesla, and I'm like, hey, this is not working, this is what the issue is, and had to be like, okay, I don't actually have a Tesla anymore, because they were trying to like look up my account. And then I don't know what he did, if he did anything to the supercharger, like but him being on the phone was actually nice enough to, like, it just popped off. It just happened. So after maybe a set amount of time, it worked. But that was kind of a sketchy situation of, like, having our adapter, like, stuck to the supercharger and we couldn't leave. So that's not great.
Yeah,
but
fun times, right?
Could have been the cold. Could have been the cold. Because it was, like, 30s. Low 30s.
Well, yeah. On that note, I mean, I don't know if there's anything else that you have, Chase?
Oh, I did post the jump that we mentioned earlier. The Gregor truck.
Did I miss it?
Where is it? The dunes up in Michigan.
Oh, yeah. I got it. Yeah, let's pull that up real quick. So you want to show the guy that tried to jump his Cybertruck better than you, and he couldn't do it.
I mean, it's impressive that it can go up this dune in the first place, but
it's cool. Not bad.
Yeah, I think I even commented on it. I was like, "This he made the same mistake that I did because I didn't like in my mind. I'm like, okay, once the truck leaves the air, or like leaves the ground, and it's in air, I need to like let off the accelerator.
Mm-hmm.
But that's actually the opposite of what you need to do, because as soon as you let off the accelerator, the wheel stops spinning, and then your inertia goes dip down.
And you nosedive.
Yeah, so you actually want to like go up into the air and then keep on the accelerator until you hit the ground, and then you can let off. So that's where you get more of a level. I only learned that honestly from all of the other Raptors that diagnosed all of my videos out here, and they were like, "Hey, by the way, this is how you really do it, and this is how you get it really smooth." Because they're really proud of having like a ramp that's like flat, and then landing that's flat. Because it's pretty cool.
Oh yeah, it's like gymnastics. You know, you got to stick that landing.
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's not just getting up in the air. It's how you land it. So
either way, mad respect for taking the balls to go over a dune like that.
100%. Well, it's funny because I was in the Salton Sea this past weekend down here in Southern California, near Indio, Palm Springs area, and they had a whole course like off road. But it's out in the desert, and there's like a whole course. And I looked at that, and I'm like, I want to try it. I don't know if I could do it. I don't even know the details, but I just saw it, and I was in a Razor, and so we were speeding around, going crazy, and I saw that, and I'm like, well, that'd be kind of cool. I want to bring the Cybertruck just to see. I mean, I think that'd be great content. I don't know if.
Stick it's,
I'll get stuck
first.
There.
if it's out in the middle of nowhere, you definitely want to take some help.
Yeah, that's well, I told the guy that was driving the Razor, I said, "Hey, I want to bring the Cybertruck." He goes, "Well, if you get stuck, I'm not helping you get it out." I was like, "All right, fair enough. So, all right, Chase, well, that's all I got for tonight. Cool. Appreciate everybody joining us in chat.
Likewise.
Obviously, LJ, Jay, Mark, Austin, Anthony, Bill, everybody. By the way, Bill, we talked about last week. I don't know if you remember, Chase. We talked. We were trying to help Bill with his scenario of whether or not he should pull the trigger on his Cybertruck. Mm-hmm. He officially pulled the trigger on his Cybertruck. So
nice.
He's. I believe he has a delivery date, and so we're just waiting for him to give us the big news that he took delivery and see how excited he is with his new baby. So
go find some dirt and do some donuts.
Yep,
do us all a favor.
Yep, go have fun with it. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
So thank you guys. Thank you everybody for tuning in. As always, appreciate all of you guys and happy Thanksgiving to all of those who celebrate, and we'll be enjoying that with your families tomorrow. Once again, you know. One thing that I have shared on my channel is that the number one thing I did in my review at the end of my video, I said the number one thing that I enjoy the most about having a Cybertruck is the fact that I've been able to meet a lot of people, obviously Chase, Will, and then all of everybody. You know, I've met Jay in person, so that was a great experience. One of the great joys of the year so far. And, you know, really appreciate and thankful for having that opportunity to just meet so many new people and have this experience and having fun with the Cybertruck and talking about it and doing videos on it. So very thankful 100%. For that. So
yeah, it's been a hell of a fun year and much to be thankful for sure.
Yep. And we got to keep it going. So
hell yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you, Chase. Cool. Talk to you later. Thank you, Will, wherever you're at.